Trying to figure out whether to move this pulpit or not. The sun's coming through that window up there, and I can't see. But I'll just look down and go from there. Get me a shade up there. If there's any of you up there, those of you that are up in the crow's nest up there, if there's anything you can put over that window up there, I would appreciate it. If you have any doubt about which way west is, I think I know. Sometimes I'm convinced that Henderson is a little bit closer to heaven than most places. I'm sure it's not, but sometimes it seems that way. We've had such a tremendous day, such a tremendous weekend. I know when you look around you at this service, you think this looks like a small audience, and it is the smallest we've had today. This morning we had one of the biggest audiences combined that we've had in the history of the congregation. At the 4:45 service tonight, we had just a few under 700 at that service. You add the number that are here tonight, this is a tremendous Sunday evening audience, and we are just grateful that each of you is here. If you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn to the first part of the book of Exodus. When you think of the book of Exodus, you tend to think of Moses. Even the smaller boys and girls will remember the story about the birth of Moses, the little ark or little boat-like contraption that was made in which he was put and where he was found by the daughter of Pharaoh. Most of us remember as we go through the book that we find Moses at the burning bush. We find him being sent down to Egypt to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. We think of Moses when we think about the Red Sea. We think of Moses when we think about Mount Sinai and the giving of the Ten Commandments in chapter 20. We think about him as he broke that first set of stones and had to go back and get another copy of the Ten Commandments written with the finger of God. We think about Moses as being the key figure in this time of the history of God's people, and he was. In fact, if I were to begin to list what I consider to be the greatest men that ever lived that are talked about in the Bible, I don't think I'd get very far down the list till I would mention Moses. We come to the New Testament, to the Mount of Transfiguration. God wants somebody to represent the law. He brings Moses back. You read the book of Revelation about what will happen in heaven, and it says, along with the song of the Lamb, that they'll sing the song of Moses. Moses was a great man. But I want to share with you tonight the idea that Moses would not have been the man that he was if it had not been for what I would call some unsung heroes that are talked about during this period of the history of God's people. As you read the first few chapters in the book of Exodus, you'll find his mother mentioned, but not by name. You'll find his sister mentioned, but not by name. You don't run on to the name of the mother until you get to the sixth chapter at verse 20. And you really don't get the entire picture of the family unless you go to a passage like Numbers 26:59 that refers back to what had happened that's talked about in the book of Exodus. Listen to Numbers 26:59. The name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, whom her mother bare to Levi in Egypt. And she bare unto Amram Aaron and Moses and Miriam, their sister. There are three people, yea, even a fourth, in this verse that really are not mentioned that much in the Bible, who may be some of the most outstanding people that ever lived. In fact, if it were not for these people, Moses would not have been what he was, maybe would not have even lived. And certainly would not have been able to do the great job that he did as a leader of God's people. First, I want you to think about Miriam. Miriam was Moses' older sister. I don't know exactly how old she was when Moses was born. Aaron would have been 3. And Miriam was at least old enough for her mother to leave her in the background to watch for Moses when she had put him in that little ark. I would guess that Miriam may have been 8 to 12 years old. I have no way of proving that, but something like that. She was Moses' older sister. We don't know a lot about her. We do know that she made some mistakes. Later in the book of Exodus, as you read the history of God's people, you'll find that Miriam, along with Aaron, questioned some of the things being done by Moses. And God was upset. And he even caused leprosy to come to Miriam on that occasion. Later, she was healed. Miriam was far from perfect. But I want you to see, particularly in the early chapters of Exodus, that Miriam played a great role in the history of God's people. I suspect that those of you who are students at Freed Hardeman who are with us tonight realize how true this principle is, even from the events of the last few days. Sometimes those who are the leaders in a program or in anything that's going on are the ones who make the headlines. They are the ones whose pictures are in the program, who are quoted in the local newspaper. And yet there are some who are sort of in the shadows at the back of the stage or somewhere else in the building who may be playing some of the most important roles that can be played. And without their help, the program could not go on. And without their support and their talents, the success would not be there. Many times that's true in a business. It's true in the family. And God knows it's true in the work of the church. Here is a young girl whose name is not even mentioned at the specific occasion, who is just simply said to be the sister of Moses, who was watching in the background. The Bible says there she was afar off. She may have been up the way a little bit in some of the bulrushes, or she may have been back on the bank. At least she was far enough off that evidently she was not noticed immediately. But when her little brother was seen by the daughter of Pharaoh, Miriam came to the situation and said, "Would you like for me to go find a Hebrew woman to take care of this baby, to nurse this baby, to see that the baby is cared for?" And you know the rest of the story, that the daughter of Pharaoh said yes. Miriam went and got her mother, brought her mother, Moses' own mother, to take care of Moses. What would have happened to Moses if Miriam had not been there? What would have happened when Pharaoh's daughter saw him? Possibly she would have taken him back to the palace at that time. Maybe she would have found an Egyptian woman to rear him and to be his mother in those early formative years. But the very fact that Miriam was there, she was not afraid to ask a question to see if she could help, and she knew where to go to get the solution to the problem, played a great role in Moses becoming what he was and doing what he did. There are many times, even in the work of the church, that some of you who think of yourselves as not very important, not able to do what other people do, who maybe consider yourself as the two-talent person or maybe the one-talent person, and who may even have a tendency to hide your talent in the sand, who may be the key to the success of God's work. You may be the key to getting the right people together to accomplish what they are capable of doing that may be more than you could do by yourself or more than you could do at all, but you're the key of getting those people together. That's what Miriam did. She got the daughter of Pharaoh and her own mother together to see that Moses was cared for on this occasion. I think Miriam was an unsung hero in the history of God's people at this time. The second one that I suggest to you tonight that was a hero is Aaron. Aaron was 3 years older than Moses, which meant that he was Moses' older brother. According to what happened normally in the history of the children of Israel, the older brother would have been the one who would have been the leader. He would have been the one who would have had the birthright. He would have been the one who might have said to his younger brother, "You're supposed to listen to me and follow me," and yet Aaron did not do that at all. You know how that Moses began to make excuse, and how he said, I can't talk in a way that the children of Israel will listen. They will not listen to me. I cannot do the job. At chapter 4 and verse 14 in Exodus, the Bible says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know he can speak well. And behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. You might expect Aaron to be jealous when he found out what the situation was. You might expect him to be a little bit arrogant. You might expect him to say, well, now wait, Moses, you don't understand this situation. I'm the older of the two, and you're supposed to listen to me. But God said, Aaron's going to be glad when he meets you. Over in the 27th verse of that chapter, the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. Look at the next verse. And Moses and Aaron went. Aaron didn't argue with Moses about what he said. When Moses told him this was from God, he realized this was God's will. It simply says Aaron was ready to go along with him and to do what he could do. It is Moses who gets the credit mainly, but it was Aaron who was doing a lot of the work in the trenches as the 10 plagues were administered and as preparation was made for the children of Israel to come out from the Egyptian bondage. In fact, as we look at these early chapters, we find the 4th chapter in verse 16 saying that Aaron would be Moses' spokesman. And the word there suggests the idea of a helper. Aaron's going to be a helper, but he's the older brother. And it is suggested in the 7th chapter in verse 1 that he is the prophet of Moses. Now, can't you just put yourself in the place of this man who's 3 years older, and he's going to be the prophet for his brother? He's going to be the spokesman for his younger brother. He's going to submit himself to the leadership of his younger brother. The 5th chapter, 6th chapter, 7th, 8th, and 9th chapter, the first verse says God spoke to Moses. But much of what he spoke to Moses was what Aaron was going to have to do. You know, sometimes we don't like to sit in the second chair. We want to be in the first. In a band, there's what's called the first, second, third chair in each of the sections of the band. And many times the one who is considered the best gets to sit in that first chair, but it may be what's done in that second and third and fourth chair that supports what's done in the first that makes the entire band successful. And in playing in ball teams, basketball, football, baseball, many times it's not the superstar who really is the one who is there that gets the job done. It may be that little single or that outstanding play that was done in the field or that relief pitcher that comes in and maybe just pitches to one batter who makes the game in the win column instead of the lost, instead of being lost. I think that's the kind of man that Aaron was. He had every reason from the human standpoint to say, Moses, you get in your place. I'm the older of the two. But not once does it seem that he did that. Now, Aaron made some mistakes too. He was guilty along there at the same time of Miriam. And there were times that he seemed to let his feelings toward Moses be what they should not have been. But at this time of the need for bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, Aaron was ready to do what he needed to do and to sit in the second place. A lot of times in the work of the church, those of us who preach publicly before the congregation get the credit for success that is done. And yet many times it's those of you who are sitting in the pews and do more than sit in the pews, get out and fit in and do a little here and a little there, who are like Aaron that really make the success possible. And then there is Jochebed. Maybe I ought to stop just a minute and talk about Amram. I don't know much about him. In fact, I don't know much about Jochebed except just what's suggested in these passages. There is a statement made in Hebrews 11 that the parents of Moses were involved in bringing him to the point that he could stand in faith, and that indicates that Amram was involved and helped. But it was Jochebed who was brought to rear Moses, the one that Miriam went and brought to the daughter of Pharaoh. It was Jochebed who took that young baby back home and kept him there for some period of time. Here again, I don't know how long. It wasn't too long until she brought him to the palace when he was weaned. I don't know what age that would have been. I remember hearing years ago someone say, "Give me a child till he's 7, and I'll train him what he needs to know." I'm reading now where they say, "Give me a child till he's 3 or 3 and a half. And we can instill in him the basic principles that will affect the rest of his life." I don't know how long Jochebed had Moses, but at age 40, even after he had spent maybe 35 years in Pharaoh's palace, had either gone to the schools of Egypt or maybe had had private tutoring to the extent that we would think that he had as good an education as anyone, could have had anything that would come with a silver spoon, could have been anywhere he wanted to be. When he saw God's people being mistreated at age 40, he took up for God's people and stood up against the Egyptians. Where do you think he learned that? Do you think Pharaoh and his daughter taught him about the history of the children of Israel? I doubt it. You think they instilled in him a love for God and a love for God's people? I don't think so. I'm convinced that what Moses learned at the knee of Jochebed, perhaps with the help of Amram, in those first 3, 4, 5 years, however many it was, gave him something in his mind that he could never get out of his mind. And when he came to the point that he had to make a decision, he was ready to make the decision and stand with the people of God, other than to enjoy all of these things that he could have enjoyed over in Egypt. Jochebed is one of the unsung heroes in the history of God's people. In fact, if you stop and think about it, she probably risked her own life to keep Moses alive. She looked right into the teeth of the law that had been passed that all the boy babies should be put to death, and would not put him to death because she believed that he needed to live. She risked her life. She gave her life to him in those early years, and what she did as a mother may have turned the tide in the history of God's people. Sometimes today, you hear so much said by some women about, "Oh, if we just had the power." Had you ever stopped to think of the greatness of the power that women have even in the work of the church? Who's teaching our children that meet in these classes down in the basement on Sunday morning and Wednesday night? Almost exclusively our Christian women. Who normally is in a position to spend more time with the child in those first few months and first few years? Normally, the mother. And I'm certainly not excusing us as dads. We need to do everything that we can. But I believe we have in Jochebed a classic example of the power, of the influence of a godly mother in the life of a child. And Moses would never have been what he was. In fact, he may never have been past being a baby, if it had not been for Miriam being in the right place at the right time, Jochebed being ready to even risk her life to save her child, and Aaron being willing to submit himself to a younger brother and play second place to see that the job was done. And folks, when the success of the church is a reality and the history of it is written, especially if it were to be written by our Heavenly Father who knows all things, I suggest to you that it'll be the Miriams and the Aarons and the Jochebeds that make the difference. And that's something that every last one of us can do. There may not be a one of us who could be like Moses. Moses was an outstanding man. But there are a lot of you ladies, even you younger ladies, sitting in the audience tonight who can be a Miriam. You may not be able to teach someone everything they need, but you can go find someone who can. You can be in the right place. You can be not afraid to ask a question, and you can bring the problem and the solution together. And there are many of you ladies in the audience tonight who can be a Jochebed. In fact, I'm of the opinion that what you mothers are doing, even sometimes wrestling during the services with a problem that makes you wonder if it will work out, may be more important than any sermon that can be preached by any preacher from this pulpit or anywhere else. The Moses type people that we'll have in the work of the church today will be there because of the Jochebed type people that are working in the background. And you and I may not be Moses, but we can certainly be Aaron. And if we're willing to lay aside any jealousy and arrogance and egotistical feelings or whatever the situation might be, and just look for what God wants us to do and the opportunities that He gives us and fit into those and do our best, we can make a difference in the history of God's people. Miriam was at the right place and knew what to do. Aaron was willing to submit and be second. And Jochebed was able to put into the mind of her child something that would control his life forever. Those are the unsung heroes of that period of God's history, the history of God's people. And that's the kind of people that we especially need today. God wants you on His team. If you can't be but a Miriam or an Aaron or a Jochebed, He wants you on His team. If you've not been baptized into Christ to become a member of that team, or if you've sort of been sitting on the bench too much, God wants you to come back, and you can be an unsung hero. Maybe that only God will know about it, but you can be important in the work of the church. If you're not involved, come to Jesus as together we stand and sing.
Now at the cross there is room. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The bride and the spirit invite. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The voice of the Father implores from mercy's most wonderful height. His love in that call He outpours. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The bride and the spirit invite. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Oh, who to Himself will be true of all whom these voices invite? Who answers, my brother, do you? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? The bride and the spirit invite. Are you coming to Jesus tonight?
Be seated, please. Our closing song will be number 294.
We remind the men of the congregation that there's a men's breakfast this coming Saturday at 8 a.m. in the Education Building. The FHU Associate Rummage Sale will receive items this Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday in the old Cricket Building, Sale is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. If it's